Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Our second reading comes to us from the second book of Samuel. But to understand it, we have to get in the Wayback Machine just for a moment and go back to David's original anointing by Samuel. 1 Samuel 16 tells the story of David being anointed. Jesse's his father, and Samuel shows up to anoint the future king of the unified state of Israel, the unified kingdom of Israel. And he lines up his boys. He goes to the first boy, and God tells him, that's not the one. He goes to the second, not the one. Goes down the list, and finally, Samuel's a little confused because he knows that God has told him to be here at this place, that one of these boys is going to be king of Israel. Turned around to Jesse, is this all your sons? Is this all the ones? Well, I've got the loser out taking care of the sheep. Now, he's the youngest. I mean, he surely can't mean him. That's not exactly what Jesse says, but and Jesse says, Samuel says to Jesse, go get him, bring him back in here. And when he shows up, he's not the oldest, and he's not the best trained. But God says through God's Holy Spirit to Samuel, this is the one. Now, the material in between this section of 1 Samuel 16 and where we are in 2 Samuel 5 has a lot of things go on. We encounter giants. We have civil wars. We have Saul and Jonathan die in battle. We have assassinations of kings. And we have generals that are murdered by other generals. It's a civil war. There's nothing civil about civil war. Then we get to this section here where Samuel, the recording of what Samuel gives us an understanding of what has gone on is an update. Two things I want us to focus on, the nature of the reanointment after the end of the civil war, and then what happens? What happens? What's one of the first things David does? 2 Samuel 5, verses 1 through 5, 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 through 5, pages 279 and 280 in your pew Bibles. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, look, you are our bone and flesh. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, it is you who shall be shepherd of my people, Israel. You who shall be ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he ruled over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. Now we move now to 2 Samuel 6. David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving this new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the Ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines, and this is biblical, and God forbid, castanets and cymbals. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Probably part of the reason I don't sound like a Southerner, having been raised in the South, is that I was born in California. I was born in California to Southerners, but I went to the first grade in California, learned how to talk in California. So when I got to the South, I sounded different than everybody else. You still hear it in my voice once in a while when I say Jesus. It's still there. You can hear it. I start doing the recordings, it comes across that way to me. But when I got to the South, I discovered that this thing that was called the Civil War was still being fought. It was still an active ingredient of life in the South in 1954. When I would go later, the daughters of the Confederacy would sponsor a writing contest, and you were not allowed in the writing contest to call it the Civil War. I know there's a joke about the fact that it's the War of Northern Aggression, but we actually were compelled to call it the War Between the States. Now, I would say to you that the people that are locked back in that 1865 time frame, I would observe to you politically, our country is at a better place for the South having lost that war. It established a lot of things for us that I think are good for overall for the country. The dilemma you've got here with this particular setting is the fact that whereas in 1865 the South lost the war, in this war, in this civil war of some 3,000 years ago, the North lost the war. The North is who has come in and is talking to David about reconciliation, and they think that he's a good material to have that conversation with. They have just watched David mourn the death of their leading general. There, Ulysses S. Grant was murdered by the South's equivalent of Robert E. Lee. And they've watched David mourn his loss and fast and tear his clothes. And they would say, this guy seems to get it. This guy seems to understand a little bit about what it is to be a unifier. Now, let's all be clear, David is not perfect. And I've been talking for these past 6 or 7 weeks about some of the characters that are in the Bible, and over again, I come back to the idea they're like you and me. They are like you and me. They have a bump or two in their complexion. They have their leadership complexions. David will stray very, very, very far from serving God. He'll be wandering around on the rooftops of Jerusalem, and the author of that portion of 2 Samuel will say, in the spring of the year when all the kings are off at war, David was in Jerusalem. An editorial comment is being made as to where David is, and he's not where he's supposed to be. This passage here is an idea of the fact that the tribes in the north have said, maybe we can have a reconciliation. Maybe we can end the civil war. Maybe this civil war can be ended, and we're going to let God decide. God has already anointed David through Samuel. He's already anointed David, and as I indicated in the lead up there, he anoints David, and he's not the oldest. The Bible tells us that God doesn't pick people out because they're good looking, but it's funny because he comes back at the end of that and says, but David was really good looking. Yeah. And he's got one of the harder jobs within the family. He gets to go take care of the sheep. Being a sheep herder is like trying to herd cats. They have a sort of a mind of their own. That's why you need tenacious dogs to go out and manage sheep. Then you have this next element here that I read from 2 Samuel 6. And you ask yourself the question, what is one of the first things that David does? The action of being first time in leadership is important. What do you do? Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. He's now got the mantle of authority. He's taken that guide on with the flag on it of Israel, and he said, okay, I've got it. It's mine. What's one of the first things that he does? One of the first things that he does is that he says, I want to move the Ark of the Covenant from the periphery of the nation to the center of the nation. I want to take it to where our political base is going to be, and I want our political and our theological and religious base to be at the same place. I want to bring it back in there. What's inside the Ark of the Covenant? I know many of us have seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. And we think we have an idea. If you open it up, you're not careful, it turns you into goo of some kind, right? Well, inside the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments. That's what was there. The Ten Commandments were there. So what David is doing by bringing the Ark of the Covenant from the periphery of the nation to the center of the nation, he's saying to them, God and God's Word is going to be at the center of who we are. Let's reflect for a moment on what it is that we've heard about David here. First, he wasn't the tallest, wasn't the oldest, wasn't the best trained, and God chose him anyway. He comes to leadership in the midst, he comes to this anointing, the second reading here, in the midst of terrible, awful civil war. And he operates with grace. And third, what's the first thing that he does? And once the civil war has ended, he decides that he wants to place God's word at the center of the story of who the children of Israel are and who they will be. This is Commitment Sunday. What does commitment mean? It's this idea of the fact that we are willing to make wholehearted dedication to a principle, to an idea. David has done that with this action of bringing the ark from the periphery into the center. Some of you may be sitting there going, yeah, the church wants me to offer my time and my talent, but I'm not the best looking, I'm not the oldest, I'm not the best trained, so I'm going to let somebody else take care of that. I'm not the one to be anointed by God. I would say to you that this 1 Samuel 16, the nature of how David is chosen, should be an empowerment to all of us. All of us can understand that God has invited us, God has blessed us, God has anointed us to be in service on behalf of God and the world. And how do we lead? I say one of the things we lead is by understanding there are civil wars that exist out there. For those of you that have only been here for a couple of years, would it surprise you at all to know that Hilltop has had a civil war? It's over. The civil war is over. Nobody won. Nobody won. I'm not David in this, but I think it's a chance for us to stop and pause and see this passage here. And what does David do? David says, we're going to operate with a voice of forgiveness. We're going to mourn the losses of those that were not part of us on one side, but part of one side or the other. They're going to sit down instead and say, we're going to be unified. We're going to be brought back together. And how are we going to be brought back together? We're going to be brought back together by making God's word be the center of who we are. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that's where we are and how we're invited. I read somewhere that there are four important words to being Christian. First is to admit. First, second is to submit. The third is to commit. And the fourth is to transmit. We're here today having admitted and submitted to make a statement that we're willing to commit. I can't tell you how hard it is, though, to operate with that God at the center of your life. Boy, wouldn't it be great if it was just easy? It's almost here like David has decided that the 12-step program for Israel is going to be putting God at the center. What's the 12-step program for Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, you name it? Almost always step one is recognizing there's a higher power. And you have to rely on that higher power in order to be able to find your way out of this depths of where you are. God's Word and the lives that are lived out for us, these examples that are lived out for us, are examples of how it is that we can say, there is a God and I'm not it. It's this recognition of the fact that God is at the center of our commitment, of our change in our very lives. My understanding is that in the LDS churches, that the name most used who's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis. We use him here as well. He provides a common reference point for a conversation within these various communities. C.S. Lewis is a profound thought-provoking apologist, explainer of who we are as Christians. But he offers for us this piece of wisdom. Either the Word of God is what it says it is, and if it is, it's of infinite value to us, or it's completely false, and it's completely unimportant. There's no middle ground with Lewis. It's either extremely important, or it's insignificant in its importance. That's where we need to be. We all need to be like this passage out of 2 Samuel 6. Either God's Word is at the center of our lives, dedicated, and we focus ourselves on God's Word, or it's unimportant. I believe it's important. I believe it's something that we need to stay focused on. Mark Batterson is the pastor of a church in Washington, D.C. Please say a prayer for Mark Batterson. Mark Batterson is the pastor of a church in Washington, D.C., and he makes a remark that Jesus didn't die on the cross in order to make us safe. Jesus died in order to make us dangerous. Dangerous in the world. Why dangerous in the world? Because we can challenge the world's idea of status quo. The world's idea of the fact that you are indeed the center of your universe, rather than God being at the center of your universe. Here's where I want you to think about for today as we reflect on these passages. Number one, everyone here has some kind of role, some kind of anointment that they can receive by God that can allow you to be in service to God in the world. You may sit there and say, I'm not smart enough, I don't sing well enough, I don't understand the soundboard well enough. Jack's the only guy that understands the soundboard well enough. Or. But at the end of the day, there is a task here that God is calling you to. What is it? What is it? Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 12, this idea of the fact that we all have spiritual gifts. It's the idea we all have these gifts that we can offer to God in some kind of way. This isn't only about treasure. We invite you to come in and also think about your time and your talent. And 1 Samuel 16 says that you can be anointed by God. Just have to pray and open up your ears and ask yourself the question, how is it that I can serve? Second issue is that we need to sort of try to do the best we can to set the past aside. Whatever that past issue is that's out there that causes us to continue to believe that the Confederate flag needs to fly over the state capitol in Atlanta. I made the mistake of asking, was Grant Park in downtown Atlanta named for Ulysses S. Grant? And I was told, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? That we can let somebody make a mistake like that, and we don't ask them, are they crazy? Have they lost their mind? Rather, we can sort of set aside the differences that may have existed in the past and work against common goals, common objectives, where God is trying to carry us. And how do we determine what those common goals are, those common objectives? We go to God's Word. We go to God's Word and we study God's Word. We find in here words about hospitality. We find words in here about the fact that the sins of the father are not transmitted to the children. We find in here words that are about reconciliation. Families that are busted apart and get brought together again. Civil wars are over. In a few minutes, during the offering, when the singing, where the silver songbirds are going to sing to us about Seek Ye First, it's going to be an opportunity for you to come forward. I would hope that you either brought your pledge card today, which indicates of what you'd like to do, time, treasures, and talent. But if you didn't bring one today, you forgot it, you left it at home, they're on the end of the aisle. Just point a finger down the end of the aisle, and people will be glad to hand one down to you. And tell us on there what's going on with you and where it is that you want to be. We have cast a bold vision for the church in 2016. We've decided that we're not going to worship the God of a balanced budget, at least in the beginning. You laugh now, Grace. We'll see where we are in 6 months. But I would say to you that we want to be God's people in the world, understanding that all of us are called to service. Forget our civil wars of the past, and to know that God's Word is at the center of who we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say,
Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.